Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, so, Phil, I give you 3 out of 10, and Tim, I'm going to give you 4 out of 10.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. My name is Tim. Philip is wearing a British and Irish Lions jersey proudly.
Very proudly.
And JB, how lion-y do you think this podcast will be?
Oh, this is going to be more lion-y than a chocolate-covered confectionery bar with Rice Krispie-like bits and caramel.
Right, very careful to say Rice Krispie-like bits.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we don't want to get sued by a big corporate.
They probably wouldn't mind, the same company, isn't it? It's Nestle do Rice Krispies and Lion Bars.
No, Kellogg's.
Oh, Kellogg's.
Although, let's just hope Procter & Gamble don't do them, or we're really in trouble.
Thank you very much for downloading. You can find us on the Apple Podcast, on Acast, on any other place you can find podcasts. And wherever you are, hit subscribe, because we're doing loads of extra podcasts.
Well, not loads. I think we've only got like 2 more extras.
I know, only a couple of extra podcasts to go. So
it's like the end of our holiday or something, you know, when it all flies past.
Yeah, and that's it. Whilst most of the rugby fraternity have been holidaying, putting their feet up, we have been doing overtime. Mm. So yeah, hit subscribe, and thank you very much for getting in touch. Phil, good weekend in Edinburgh?
Very good. Very good fun. Seeing friend of the pod, CJ, up there. Met some of the Edinburgh Northern lads as well out last night.
Where'd you watch the game?
Just at home or at CJ's house. A little bit hungover, so took it easy during the game.
And you watched it on delay, I gather.
Did you?
How was that, managing to go dark, like radio silence from the world?
Only slightly on delay, but yeah, kind of watched it 10, 15 minutes later. And yeah, pretty much radio silence throughout the game.
You could have just caught up through the penalty kicks and half-time and stuff. Or did you want to soak all that up as well?
Well, at half-time, we went to get bacon butties. So it was really the second half that we watched more on
that was
on delay.
Maz, you were out getting bacon butties during the second half and managed to avoid anything.
That's, yeah.
I suppose Scotland, you were in Edinburgh. Scotland don't care about the Lions, do they? Definitely Edinburgh. Do they Edinburgh have any players? No. It's all Glasgow, isn't it?
I'm not even sure they had a player that even once played in Edinburgh on the Lions tour. Probably not.
But what were your takeaways then, Phil? Me and JB did a very quick, after the final whistle, catch-up.
First of all, just what a game.
Like, yeah.
Most incredible tension I've ever felt in something like that. And I'm still struggling to believe that the Lions actually did it.
Yeah.
And to come back, I know against 14 men, and that's a separate point that we'll get onto, but to come back, the number of times that we've seen New Zealand close that kind of game out when it's down to a 3-point game, even when they're with a minute to go, they're losing, and they still manage to win. And with in the last minute, in the 78th or 79th minute, they got into the Lions 22 and messed it up, and I almost couldn't believe what I was watching, seeing the pressure that the Lions had put on New Zealand to force them into that position.
So New Zealanders would point to that final penalty, though, when the Lions did get into New Zealand's half, as, I mean, I'd be spitting chunks if the Lions had lost the game on the basis of that penalty. What else could Charlie Faumuina do than try and tackle a guy who then decides to jump in the air as he's catching it? So basically, you could argue, if you were a New Zealander, and I'll be devil's advocate here, the Lions won the test match with a kick that was won by a penalty, mm-hmm. because Reece Webb never got on, did he? Conor Murray played the whole So, because Conor Murray did a bad pass, the Lions won the test match.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't think it's a good law at all. It's to protect kickers in the air. Sorry, catchers.
Catchers in the air, yeah.
From a kicked ball in the air. It's not really for this. I understand it can do a lot of damage, but we can see the perverse incentives it creates.
But it's all about time. So I think, in my head, the law was applied correctly.
Yep.
But if Sinclair catches that ball half a second earlier, before he's off the ground, then Sinclair's jumping into a tackle.
Yeah.
But this is why the law's ridiculous. Yeah. This is that
if we'd
have lost the chance to go to a third week and New Zealand and it had been reversed and Sinclair tackled Faumuina, the two replacement tight heads, we'd be absolutely livid.
Yeah.
We would be livid. So you could understand New Zealand as being very unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
And they're a little bit unhappy with the Owen Farrell kind of half tackle off the ball, half clear out on TJ Perenara for when Conor Murray burst through.
Yes, but that's what they did to New Zealand did to us. Was it in a provincial match? I forget.
Yeah, it was always going to be in a game as fluid as rugby, with so many players on the pitch at one time and only one official really working at any one time. There's always going to be these incidents.
Mm. Yeah,
no big deal.
And equally, we were only Jamie George away from not winning the game because the penalty could have been reversed if he hadn't intervened and been the dinosaur tamer with Carl Sinclair.
Oh God, no! Is this where Carl Sinclair started celebrating again?
Well, he just went a bit nuts after Faumuina tackled it. He just got up and went a bit nuts before the penalty. He sort of lost it. The penalty could have been reversed.
There was a few players on the Lions pitch, particularly towards the end, who were right on the edge.
It
of
worries me
losing
that
losing control.
Like what Sam Warburton said at the end of the game. I'm not happy because we've not won the series. It's exactly how I want my players. I don't want them feeling that they've already achieved everything they're going to achieve.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a sort of feeling about that when you're jumping in the air, high-fiving everyone because you've won a penalty.
So, yeah, I get it, but look at Mako. Mako's actions.
Oh.
Both the charge off the ball, which Cody Taylor did on Owen Farrell. It didn't get picked up, but regardless, when Mako did it, kind of petulantly and stupidly on Bowden Barrett, and then the off the ball again, the clear out.
Well, the first one, I really thought there's nothing in it.
I'm with you.
That could be nothing, quite frankly. But having been a penalty, or even having it go to the match official, video match official, don't do it again.
Yeah.
You know, then that's when you just keep your nose ultra clean.
Yeah, it looked like he'd gone the wrong side of being.
And again, I'm actually happy with the yellow card, but there's quite a lot of New Zealanders going, well, hold on a minute, that was a shoulder, no arm, deliberate shoulder hit to the head.
I'm sympathetic to that. I will say this, I think Maka won it for us, because when he went off that yellow card, it was like someone got hold of the Lions collectively and just gave him a good shake and said, like, snap out of it, you've got to play rugby.
It's weird that New Zealand were better playing with 14 against 15.
Yeah. Well, I mean, until that point, I think the Lions were so scared about throwing it away and making a mistake, they got very cautious.
Yeah.
When it went 14 on 14, it's like, oh, guess we need to play some rugby then, boys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Where they went.
Yeah, because it was almost the catalyst, going back to equal numbers.
Yeah.
Turned it around.
Because all series, the Lions have not had the better of New Zealand. There's never been a long period of play when the Lions have been clearly the better team, until they played 14 on 14. I think that made them think, actually, we can do this. And then when they got back to full strength, away they went.
Yeah.
Some finish as well.
Well, last 20 minutes, so I was convinced. I was absolutely convinced. So Makavunipola gets the yellow card. Bowden Barrett slots that. It's 18 points to 9, and it's 59 minutes gone.
Mm.
Now, we know from an earlier pod, New Zealand historically concede very, very few points in the last 20 minutes and score a lot of points.
Yes.
And the Lions outscored them 15 points to 3 in the last 20 minutes.
Is that right?
Half of which it was 14 on 14.
Yeah, incredible.
That really is that composure and the dominance of Lions and this kind of suffocating defence.
It's a big notch in Andy Farrell's cap, isn't it, this game?
Yeah. So
Yeah.
I think I alluded to this in our earlier pod, but I'll go with it again. The All Blacks won the first test because they had a very unique game plan. I still don't think I've ever seen a team play like that. I mean, it's like the Exeter Chiefs in the 22, but a lot more. Does that make sense?
So yeah,
lots
yeah.
of...
How like, Exeter play in the 22 across most of the pitch.
Exactly. Lots of little offloads. I've never seen anything like it. I'm not sure we'll see anything like it again, to be fair. So the Lions have adjusted their team in order to play that game, is what I believe. But the All Blacks then went back and played a different game, which we obviously saw. And I'm wondering, do I credit the selection of those two players to change the way that the All Blacks played?
Nah.
Yeah, how much does Sonny Bill
sending off after 25 minutes.
Yeah.
The fact it was hammering it down with rain.
Yeah. But they weren't playing the same way. I mean, you thought hammering it down with rain, they would just carry on doing the same. They'd pick up where they left off from last week, I would have thought. Well, how else would you do it?
But what did they do dramatically different this week from last week?
I just thought they were a little bit more open. Having said that, Beauden Barrett only made 11 passes, which is astonishingly low.
Wow, that really is.
Just that, double check that.
I was going to say, can that be a fact? Incredible. I know they kicked from
hand. I know it's very few, because if you look at the passing stats...
I know they kicked out of hands more so than the Lions did.
Well, 7, according to this.
Oh, so 7 passes.
Sexton and Farrell didn't make many either at all.
No, well, Sexton did. We talk about a trademark Itoji hand clap. We should talk about the trademark. Well, we have talked before about the trademark Sexton run around,
wrap around.
It's like you know what he's going to do every time he gets the ball.
Yeah, but you can't stop it.
It's like jiu-jitsu, so which is don't learn everything, just learn a couple of things really, really well. And that's what he does. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt of the wraparound.
He's learned how to wear massive shoulder pads and how to do a runaround.
Now, Brett Favre always used to say, don't let anyone ever wear your shirt. Hence, he went, God knows what, 100-odd games in the NFL. Do you think Sonny Bill has really messed up by letting...
You asked the same question the other day. No.
Let's simmer that.
It's like he's got red carded. And that's the one thing you've got to say. New Zealand haven't ever let a lead slip, but New Zealand have never had a red card in this era of the team.
Third in their history, I think it is.
50 years since the last one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Colin Meads. Oh, no, there must have been another one. Or is that the last one on home soil?
Home soil.
I don't think they've ever had one on home soil, mate. I think the two have been away, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
They won both of those two games that they got red cards in, but again, you're going back 50 years.
Yeah.
Apologies for asking the same question twice.
No, it's all right.
However...
No. So I'm saying no. Like it was no malice. He didn't mean it. You can't. That would be the harshest and worst thing you could do.
But how's
to take that out on a player's career when that happens?
Let me ask you this then: how serious is it? How serious is what he's done? I'm with you. As an individual act, it's not serious at all, is it? But what about the broader picture? What about the fact that they lost at home for the first time in God knows how? How many years? How about the fact that they thought they were going to wrap up the test series and wrap it up well? How about the fact that they were favourites, heavy favourites, going into it? And also, he's not going to be able to play for 4 more games. Or is it 4 weeks?
It's four weeks.
So one more game.
One game.
I think it's actually really serious for him.
No, I don't think it is. Hansen is building towards 2019, as everyone is, and Sonny Bill Williams will remain in his thoughts until then.
Absolutely, unquestionably.
He made a mistake. He made a clear mistake, but I don't think it'll have any...
That would have been like washing your hands of Ronan O'Gara after South Africa. He carried on playing for Ireland.
Never played for the Lions again, did he?
This is true. Sonny Bill reacted to it in... amazing Sonny Bill fashion. He was humble. He gave his red card to a child in the crowd.
I loved that tweet. That made me laugh so much.
Made me giggle. Lol.
Did either of you see Kieran Reid dealing with it when the press were trying to ask him?
He is a classy human being, isn't he?
Why would he say? I missed both these interviews straight after the game.
So the one I've seen, he's probably been asked a dozen times about it, but the only ones that I've seen, he is kind of... not address the red card but he has just said, look, we weren't good enough in a number of areas. We made mistakes.
Yeah, and he's
we were put under pressure. Lions played brilliantly.
He went up to every player, smiled, shook hands, and just reacted in the classiest manner. In fact, I would say the two skippers, Sam Warburton, by all accounts, has been received brilliantly in New Zealand. They love it. Like, and the way he chatted after the game was like, well, you know, we haven't won a series.
Do you know how it kind of strikes me? It's more like they're both very serious about their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they're ultra professional. Yeah. There is no time for the personal stuff. There's no time for the mind games. It's all business on these couple of weeks now.
I bet neither of them are, like, on Instagram the way many others are. They seem like they're just all completely rugby.
I mean,
in a Richie McCaw kind of fashion.
Yeah. I've actually met Kieran Reid. And I actually tried to touch his shoulder
Kieran
as well.
Reid met you.
Yes, true. JB. And he's actually just like that. I mean, we were in the middle of Chicago in an empty stadium.
Yeah.
And he's actually, even talking to him, it feels humble. It even feels like he's surprised that you're asking him for a photo.
Such a nice guy.
Go to our Instagram page, Egg Chasers Podcast, and look at JB's
hover
hand.
No!
he can't quite bring himself to actually touch the great man. I
had one chance of a photo.
Did you hear Steve Hansen after the game talking to New Zealand TV? This is him. Was that a Freudian slip or just by accident, mind games?
There's too much of a body of evidence against Steve Hansen to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Warren Gatland. He's got like a chink in his armour. Do you know, like, there's one person, like, usually it's a family member that can get under your skin at any time. It's those two with each other.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I've not heard that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Lions, come on. he never fails to let himself down in some small way, does he?
The other feature, in terms of, I'm going to play you a clip here. Hold on a minute. The other thing, you see the picture of Maro Itoje with his dad?
Love that picture.
No.
So good. His dad, he looks so excited.
His dad is more excited than, it's after 80 minutes, they're on the sideline. His dad looks way more excited than Maro.
And his dad went, his dad looks like Ainsley Harriet in that picture. Have a little look at it. But then this.
That looks like the most excitable Labour conference suit you'll ever see.
And there's a brilliant shot of Alan Wynne-Jones and Liam Williams walking off, shouting the chant as well. So
I saw Alan Wynne-Jones doing it.
He is truly on his way to being one of the greatest locks world's ever seen.
So that is
who? Alan Wynne-Jones. let me say something about Alan Wynne-Jones. I think, is he now the only player to have beaten Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand for the Lions
in a Test match? Yeah,
that's quite something.
That really is.
That probably brings on to the calls. You might well have touched on it yesterday, but we can probably look back and say, right. Correct call, yes or no? Warburton in for Peter Omani. Correct call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I still feel sorry for Omani because he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, but Warburton
and
was
you'll
excellent.
Never he was excellent.
The problem with Warburton, right, is that he is he's kind of like Dylan Hartley.
I thought you were going to say he's literally Dylan Hartley. Then
yeah,
you almost did.
Yeah, he's kind of like Dylan Hartley in that he only really plays for Wales, so you can't really get a good handle of how good he is during the season until they throw him into any red shirt, it would seem.
Yeah.
And when he's just brilliant.
There was the last couple of minutes when New Zealand turned the ball over in Lions 22. I think Jonathan Davies kicks it downfield, and the Lions press the whole team chasing after it. And Sam Warburton was, him and Sean O'Brien were both leading that line, and I thought that kind of epitomised both of their tireless.
Phil, little stat question for you then. Last time New Zealand went tryless.
Wow, I've not seen this. This probably some time ago. Have they gone tryless in the last 10 years?
The last time they were tryless at home was 2002.
Wow.
The last time they were tryless away, I believe, I may be on this, I think it's 2004.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, that is incredibly impressive.
So 38 games wouldn't be that long, though, would it? No, hold on. It might be less than that for trialists, because I think it was. I think it's a 38 game run they've had
at home. But 38 game at home would be, because they only normally play kind of five, six games at home.
Yeah.
So that is years.
So
other calls.
But again, they've never played with 14 men.
True.
Yeah.
The other calls then. Second row. Yeah. Fine. Second row.
Second row. Now I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a second. I think, well, you have to say they won the game, so well done, the right calls, but you can't predict that there were going to be 14 men. You can't predict that it's going to be hammering down with rain.
Beauden Barrett missing kicks. Well, you could
kisses. Do that. You can't predict Beauden Barrett's going to miss three kicks.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I've been predicting it from day one. Couple of things. You can't predict the red card, you're right there. There's a multi-million pound industry in weather forecasting, so I can't give that one, Tim. And yeah, we can predict about Beauden Barrett because he's got such a long record of it.
Arguably, you couldn't have predicted Beauden Barrett slotting 100% of his kicks last week, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that was a shock.
So you've got to say, fair play, all the calls are right because they won the game. There has been, and I think there was a lot of, there was two camps, two chains of thought. There was one going, Alan Wynne-Jones is being selected on reputation, not form. And then there are a lot of people after the game saying, see, was he that amazing, or was he just solid, decent Alan Wynne-Jones?
No, he was amazing because they beat the All Blacks. So that's the first thing. And I've been thinking.
I'm not giving an opinion. I'm asking the question this. Because I think the nature of this sort of tabloidy world we live in, where it goes from one. Like, again, someone described my comments about Alan Wynne-Jones as vitriolic on the on last week's podcast. I thought all I said is I don't think he's the form choice, but. There you go. Gatlin's made a call. We'll see.
And the
yang to that yin was that suddenly everyone's going, see, I told you he's an incredible player.
Well, I was in the incredible player camp, but I was also in the camp that he hasn't been the best lock. But this is why I think it's okay for Gatlin to pick on reputation rather than form, because people point to his selection of Jonathan Davis over Brian O'Driscoll, and you know, there's been some sort of double standard here. Mm. Like, yeah, okay, there's Brian O'Driscoll, who's been one of the greats of all time, and then you've replaced him on form. Alan Wynne-Jones didn't do the same. And the reason I think it's different is because of the nature of the position. The position, obviously, with an outside centre is, it is a high intensity, you've got two or three breaks a game, fast twitch sort of position. Lock is just continual battles, fights over and over again. And I think the experience at lock means and matters for a lot more than it does somewhere out in the backs. So it's completely consistent with me. And when you want someone to dig in the trenches, I do think you need that mental toughness. You can't just have two young guys. And like we alluded to his record before, South Africa, Australia, and now New Zealand. There is something in that.
I see that. I wouldn't suggest there's any lack of mental toughness in Ian Henderson or
George Cruz
or Courtney Laws.
But you've got to be there before and you've got to know what it takes.
That there is a good point, because if you do look across the Lions, the whole team, there's a lot of pretty young guys. There's only a handful of those guys who are over 30. You've got a lot of you, particularly in that tight five as well. Furlong, Mako, Jamie George.
They're remarkably young, actually.
They are remarkably young for an international type.
It's mad, when you look at Jamie George, played all 80 minutes in a team that's beaten New Zealand for the Lions on the bench for England.
You're the best. That break from Jamie George was so cool, because
I love Jamie George when he does that.
Yeah. I mean, he spent two games now toiling. He's not been as effective as he sometimes is for Saracens and for England. But he's still trying the same things over and over again, right until the last quarter of his second start in a test match against New Zealand. And then it comes off. I just love it.
Yeah, I loved it as well.
I liked it when he hooked the ball with his head in a scrum.
Did he?
There's one scrum that went down, but he ended up hooking it with his head.
I did not see that.
He's got a big Swede, but I've never seen it used for that.
Effective.
Very effective.
And then the other call, Farrell and Sexton. Which me and you, Tim, were both on board with.
I was not on board with this
last week.
I was on board this. I was calling for it on test one.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was not on board on this, and I don't think it actually worked until the very end.
What?
It didn't work until the end, mate.
So it didn't work in the way that I was advocating it would work, which was to get the ball to the outside backs.
Yeah.
It did work in a way that suited the conditions, because you had two But even, well, you then had three very good kickers because you've got Conor Murray and the two men outside.
But even the kicking wasn't great, to be fair.
There was some very good stuff, and it, the more effective kicking was arguably Conor Murray's box kicks. It did, in those conditions, it put the back three under some pressure.
Yeah.
The New Zealand back three. Both back threes were put under some real pressure.
But almost every member of that back line can kick. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of really difficult for a fullback.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to make yourself unpredictable, to bait the kicks, to, you know, there's a whole chess game around that, and if they don't know what's going to happen, it's bloody difficult.
Right, pick one key man for the Lions that you thought was, if who was your, because I don't even know who the official man of the match was.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I know that on TalkSport, where I was working, Ben K picked Maro Itoje as his man of the match.
I would probably also pick Maro Itoje.
I think I probably would. I thought Sean O'Brien.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Every time
Sean
I think of the name,
incredible.
I think of a reason to give him man of the match. So I thought Warburton, because his mere presence changed the style of the game.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves here?
Yeah.
Because they were then, 14 men and they missed 9 points. Yeah. If Beauden Barrett had got one of those or two of those three very kickable kicks,
but
the game was gone and dead, even though the Lions
then,
had 15 men.
Toby Faletau.
There's
going to
be a reaction. You know there's going to be a big reaction next week under the roof in Dunedin, remember?
the greenhouse, yeah. Do you know what? I think I'd give it to Sean O'Brien.
Yeah.
He just toiled and toiled.
I would be
toiled.
Very happy with Sean O'Brien as well.
Do you know his performance, that test, reminded me of Richard Hill in his pomp. Like muscular, good tackler, not that flashy. Just carries
he's
on.
He's really
stuff.
Devastating with the ball in his hand, though.
He was making ball. Yeah, he was making good yards.
Yeah,
they didn't know.
Comfortably made the most yards.
It's funny. Do you think more was made of the Farrell Sexton thing than needed to be? Because actually, when you look at it on the face of it, people going, "Oh, really gutsy call, really bold call. Oh, God, what a brave call!" It's like, no, you're picking an international 10 at 10, and you're picking an international 12 at 12.
Yeah, I think it was bold call because I actually don't think Farrell is the best 12. He bounced off too many tackles. He's a hard hitter.
In the Six Nations, name someone who played better at 12.
I don't have the stats to hand, but when you compare the 10...
Stats, just based
well, no,
on
because
you
I think you have to consider it. But he did miss more tackles than all the other 10s. You know, like, by a long way. I think it's like 12 missed tackles during the Six Nations. You know, you would have argued that Henshaw probably played a bit better. You know, I don't think he's a world-class 12, and that's why I
genuinely think he is a world-class 12. I think he's that good. I think he does have flaws in his game. You are quite right. He does miss tackles and he does get bounced because he goes high. He also puts in some brilliant hits. Yeah. But what you lose in some areas, you more than gain up in other areas.
Yeah.
With all that said, I think it was quite a ballsy call because you dropped one of the best players on the whole tour in Peak Teo.
Mm.
And you're dropping him completely out of your side and changing the way that you're playing.
But I think the changing the way they're playing was necessary to beat New Zealand. And I think what you've seen there, and it'll be really interesting to see what Wales do now, because Warren Gatland in Lions duty has played a very un-Warren Gatland style way. Wales have never played with two ball players.
They have, actually. They were...
Well, very rarely. Come on, it's not what Warren Gatland does.
Only because it's not available to him. What
really?
Warren Gatland is, yeah. What Warren Gatland is, ultimately, is a pragmatist. So, in the early days, it was always Henson and Shanklin. I mean, he really rated Henson.
Shanklin's not a distributor. He was
No, Shanklin.
Was
sorry,
13.
Henson
oh,
Shanklin.
13, right.
I mean, that's how they won their...
Okay, yeah.
Stephen Jones.
So, it's not that unusual for him. Owen Williams.
All right, so we have to go back a decade.
Well, no, because he's got Owen Williams now. And
Scott Williams.
Scott Williams, thank you. That's the one that... that's the one.
Although
that
Owen Williams did play on the tour.
Yeah,
and
really play a bit.
And Scott Williams was largely overlooked in favour of Jamie Roberts until Jamie Roberts was clearly looking really ropey.
Jamie Roberts was man of the tour in South Africa. I mean,
I'm not criticising. All I'm saying, I think it's a matter of fact.
Jamie Roberts.
It's a matter of fact that it's very un-Gatland. But
I think
what you've seen is the blueprint. It's what Australia have been doing forever. It's what England have been doing for some time, albeit by accident. I think Eddie Jones fell into that.
Yeah, but... You are right in a sense that Gatland has played this certain way, and my argument would be the reason he's played in a certain way is because of the players available to him, and Jamie Roberts will probably go down as one of Wales' all-time great centres. So, you know, you'd have to dispose of Jamie Roberts in order to get someone else in there. And that's why I think he's done it. I don't think Gatland cares if he's got a playmaker or he's got a Bosher, as long as it works. Mm. That is my view.
As long as he's got the best players available.
Having said that, what does back you up is his time in Wasps. The Wasps team were the biggest, most physical team because he demanded that for his style of play. So there is something to what you say, certainly.
Mm. I'm a bit okay. So I would come out of this test match, and if we try and just, I think my feet are back down on earth now. I look at it and go, New Zealand won't be that bad again. They were poor by their standards.
Yep.
They will have 15 men again.
Yep.
They will get a lot better. But I think the positive for the Lions is they can get a lot better as well. They were rubbish for the middle 40 minutes. Really.
They made a lot of mistakes. They made a huge number of mistakes, and to stay in the game, well, actually, they weren't actually in the game at one point with 20 minutes to go when they were 9 points down. But to win the game in that manner is brilliant.
I think the chances of them winning the third test are far higher than they are than previously winning the second test. I honestly think this is a complete toss-up now. Whereas I would have said for the second test, New Zealand the heavy favourites. Going to be really, really difficult. You've got to remember, New Zealand are missing players. You know, the attritional factor has really affected them, not such the Lions. I think the Lions will go out with exactly the same team as they finished with. Maybe there might be something to do with Mako, but other than that...
Oh, so you think Laws might come in for...
No, Mako.
No, but you said the same team as they finished with.
Oh, no, sorry, as they started with.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So they'll have back-to-back teams. I can't remember the last time a Lions tour was able to do that. Whereas the All Blacks are missing all sorts of personnel.
Yeah, they'll be missing a few players.
Yeah, I think
bring it on. The hype is going to be mad this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait. So excited. Yeah,
last week I called it exactly right. Don't give me any credit for the score because I didn't really believe it would happen.
Oh yeah, because you said Lions by four again.
Lions by four, right? But that doesn't count. I really meant All Blacks by 15. but I did say it would be one of the best Test matches that we can remember. I think the next game it's got a chance of even being even better. It's certainly going to be the most hyped test match I can remember.
Yeah.
When's the last match you can think of which has more hype than this?
Even the last couple of World Cup finals have had less hype than this.
Yeah, because they
were almost done deals. New Zealand, Australia, New Zealand, France.
Wales, France was kind of a big deal at the time, but
in the semi-final.
Yeah,
it's so exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to deviate this slightly, briefly, because one of the reasons we're sat here doing this and doing all these extra podcasts throughout the Lions Tour is thanks to our wonderful friends at Raging Bull, Phil Vickery and his team. So ragingbull.co.uk, they've got loads of brilliant leisure wear. We are discerning rugby gentlemen. We wear chinos and blazers and crisp shirts and ties and pocket squares and lapel badges whenever we get the chance, and nice pairs of shoes and whatnot. And Raging Bull can sort you out with all of that stuff, and you can get a 15% discount if you go to, well, if you just use the code EGG15 at checkout. Get involved. They've got some really good stuff there, and made all the better by the fact you can get a good deal on it. And I've been asking for some tour story. We've been asking for some tour stories from you, memories of tours gone by as there's a Lions tour at the moment. And thank you very much. Got one here. I'm going to keep it anonymous to start with, just in case, like last week, I end up wishing it was anonymous before. So this is a tour from Dorking Rugby Club.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Dorking? That's Essex, is it?
I don't know.
I think it's Essex or Kent or something around. I'm pretty sure it's Essex. Anyway, so I think it's like Jason Leonard land. That's Barking, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, it is Barking.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is a retro tour. This is an under-14s tour that this gentleman is remembering.
My first tour was under-14s.
Which went to Eindhoven.
Bloody hell.
The opening game before they went... That's in Holland.
Holland, yeah.
But before they went over the border there, they had a game in Belgium. And what none of the team knew at that time and none of the club knew is that Belgian rugby teams play mixed sex up to the age of under-17.
Wow.
Imagine being 14.
Under-17?
Those hormones. Imagine being 15, 16, those hormones racing around and then... Mixed rugby. So, yeah. So he was playing...
Mixed rugby.
This gentleman was playing prop, and he was up against a female. They were comfortably winning. Unfortunately, with it being 15 years ago, I can't remember the scoreline. That's fine. Just want the juicy details. That's all we want. Being a prop, I was at the front of a line-out at one point. There's no lifting at that age group. It was pretty much a free-for-all. The ball got thrown in. Somehow, I snatched the ball from the air and began to run up the pitch. In front of me was one of the fairer maidens from the opposition, their right winger. So she was going to be one of the nice...
Yeah.
Everything appeared to go in slow motion at this point. As I realised I had a one-on-one with this girl, my teenage instincts kicked in. My brain thought it was just a good idea to disguise a handoff as my very first touch of a boob.
Yeah!
So I cunningly aimed my hand towards her chest, eyes on the prize. Just before first contact, I was completely blindsided by the opposition number 8. By far the most athletic player. And he was the token, looks much older than they actually are kind of person.
Yeah.
From his perspective, I bet it was his girlfriend you were after.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest tackle I've been on the receiving end of. As I hit the ground, I let out a groan. A mixture of pain and also the disappointment of having not got my first touch of boob.
No. What a sad story.
I'm going to find the
name. I can't imagine how... What would it be like playing against girls at age 17?
Sounds like a bad idea.
It doesn't sound,
for lots of reasons.
It doesn't sound a good idea for the girls. That'd be my main point.
It was Darren Bearden. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
And hi to everyone at Dorking Rugby Club. Email contact@eggchasers@gmail.com.
Now, I know we've finished the Lions, but we have just got one more area of this match to visit, and we haven't touched it yet. But we've forgotten to talk about the big winners of this game. Ireland, congratulations, you've won the JB Cup. People up and down Ireland were set, they were dancing in the streets.
The test again, but I'm going to put it to you once again. It can only even be thought of as a potentially viable thing if you can explain it succinctly in one line.
Longest winning streak, Tier 1 nation. There you go. 5 on the bounce for Ireland. The cup is actually in transit to Dublin Airport.
It's in transit.
I was going to say, it's slightly farcical that it's a trophy that you don't win by beating anyone. You win by someone else losing somewhere else in the world.
Look, you can win the Premier League without playing the team that's second in the final weekend. So it works.
Oh, all those Irish fans, that's why they were all jumping around their telly. They were cheering.
Go on, Shawnee, win the JB Cup for us. That's what they were shouting. So that's an amazing achievement for a small nation. Congratulations, guys. Be proud of that.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good. We've actually been sent a little quiz on email as well. Do you want this, briefly? It's only a quick one.
Okay. Yeah.
Go on.
That would be good.
So, hello to Harry Nye, who's emailed contacteggchasers@gmail.com.
I know Harry Nye.
With a game.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know Harry Nye.
He's inspired by previous quizzes like Springbok or Nazi War Criminal. Mm-hmm. He has come up with a game, Plays for Cyprus or Human Virus.
Ooh. So, just so you know, I've actually played with a lot of the Cypriot national team on a beach in Limassol.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is unfair then. You should get this.
Yeah,
I can't remember
all their names.
So, first one, JB and Phil, and play along as you're listening. Is Philiotis a 35-year-old Cypriot lock or a genital infection that will affect your male ego?
Ooh.
Say it again.
Philiotis.
Philiotis. Now, I did catch anything in Cyprus, and I also met a lock. I can't remember which is which. I'm going to go for the lock.
I'm going to go for the virus.
JB is 1-0 up. You may well have played on the beach with Philiotis. He's nicknamed Philly, 6'7" lock, who weighs 20 stone. He's got 8 international caps for the Mouflons. Did you know that's their nickname?
No, I did not.
The Mouflons. He currently plays for Hammersmith and Fulham Rugby Club.
Oh, good lad.
Oh, nice.
Okay, next one. Bilharzia. Bilharzia. Is bilharzia a disease caused by a parasitic worm or a young skillful centre known for insane offloads?
I'm going to say... the centre.
The parasite or the virus.
JB goes 2-0 up.
Yes.
Oh. Bilharzia, second only to malaria, is the most devastating parasitic disease. They were released from infected freshwater snails.
This is a horrible quiz.
Spread through contaminated freshwater. I
mean, it's not a badly written quiz. It's just horrible.
Okay. So.
How much worse than previous quizzes?
No. I mean, it makes me feel horrible. Okay. I'm so squeamish.
Phidias ephemu. Is Phidias ephemu a versatile rugby union player who can play anywhere in the back line or an osteolytic condition attacking the human spine? JB, you go first.
The player?
Give me a virus.
JB's 3-0 up. Oh. Left wing for Cyprus. Right wing inside and outside centre at international level. Nine tries in 19 international appearances.
By the way, this is no mean feat because I want Cyprus like the longest undefeated team.
Is that Malta?
No, Cyprus
are actually the JB Cup holders.
They're not, because they're not tier one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
refer to my single sentence.
Philip. Pediculus corporis. Is pediculus corporis a cutaneous condition spread by contact with bed sheets or an overweight prop that has had one too many sweets?
Has to be a virus.
It is. It's a condition caused by body lice that lay their eggs in the seams of clothing.
Jesus Christ! Right, this is awful. I can't bear this.
All right, let's go for one more. Vatikiotis. Is vatikiotis the name of a Cypriot rugby player that plays loose in the scrum, or a fever that makes you loose in the bum?
I hate this so much.
Rugby player.
Whichever. Either or.
3-2 now.
That's it, I've won.
Kyriakos Vatikiotis.
Put this one to bed.
He currently plays loosehead prop for club and country, previously number 8 of his former club, Trafford Metrovic.
Steve Diamond's old club.
But now, but currently plays for Manchester Rugby Club, my old rugby club. Cypriot international in Manchester, maybe. Get him on the podcast if we ever need him.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Harry Nye. And if you've got a quiz, then get it. And sorry that JB is got physically repulsed by that one, so we cut it short.
Hate it.
But contact daychasers at gmail.com.
Yeah, do that.
What else is going on?
What else is going
on? Pro 12. What's going on there? Pro 14.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what?
If you haven't seen the news, the two South African franchises that were previously rumoured to have been offered a place, it has been confirmed, will take part in this season's coming competition.
Has it been confirmed that they are taking place or that they have been offered to take place?
I'm looking now, and the language that the BBC have used is they are set to enter the league for the coming season.
This is madness.
So they meet for their final... Super Rugby fixtures against each other on the 14th of July, and then September they'd be starting to have a 6-week break.
Right. So these are the two least valuable teams in Super Rugby. I mean, you might argue the Sunwolves are, but at least Sunwolves are in like, you know, an economic powerhouse. At least there's some, you know, the money there, and, you know, it's spreading the game, yada, 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 yada. So they get a pass. These are genuinely just two afterthoughts which someone threw into Super Rugby for political reasons.
I understand this for financial reasons.
Go on, because I'd be fascinated to know.
It's just it's TV money, isn't it? It's trying to compete with the Avicii Premiership and the Super Rugby for TV money. That's it.
The Pro 12 TV deal is a fraction of the Premiership and the top 14.
We're not going to be able to call it Avicii anymore as well, because Aviva are no longer sponsors.
Is that right?
I don't think it's been announced who the Avicii
actually, you are right, because they're going to announce the new sponsors, aren't they?
Yeah.
When they do something to do with the kits or something, there's a new...
The Dead Mouse Premiership.
Yeah. So
the Calvin Harris Premiership.
That'd be great. Okay, loads of reasons it's weird. One, they're travelling. Two, they're both two terrible teams, although the Kings did beat the Jaguars this weekend.
Yeah.
They were hand play away. The expense and also the TV money. I mean, yeah, playing South Africa is great, but the rand is practically worthless and depreciates by about 20% every decade. And it's not like it's going to strengthen anytime soon.
It's bizarre. Okay, well, really, functionally, let's assume the money makes sense. And it is a big, albeit the rand is weak and South Africa is a rugby mad nation.
Yeah, yep. And it gives South Africa rugby.
They can't get enough.
Pretty much year round as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's that.
But functionally, how does it work? Because it's 14 teams, they're not going to all play each other home and away. Presumably it'll have to be split into conferences.
Unless they just follow basically the top 14 fixture schedule.
Will they cull the Anglo-Welsh Cup? That wouldn't be a
God,
bad
that's
thing.
A good point.
Yeah, they'll probably have to cull the Anglo-Welsh Cup.
So that's to go, no big deal there.
Probably, yeah.
So how does that work? Two conferences of seven, a bit like NFL, you play everyone in your conference home and away. And in fact, I saw this one suggested. It was two conferences of seven. You play everyone in your conference home and away. That's 12 games. Mm-hmm. You play everyone in the other conference, either home or away. That's mm-hmm. seven games. So that's 19. And then to make it 20, one extra derby match.
Okay.
Okay.
But in terms of the creating two conferences of seven, all the Irish teams are going to want to be in one conference.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be great, though.
Yeah, that would be really good. And then all the Welsh teams are going to want to be in one conference because of the derbies. And then you're going to kind of
Scotland, Ireland, and South Africa.
Scotland all want to be together. South Africa makes sense to be together. So you're going to end up. It's going to be a weird split. Mm. And then you have to split the Italians, possibly. Not that it particularly matters, but
I mean, I'm going to play the role of the cynic. Your normal role, Tim. I was going to say, like, does this feel like it's kind of aligning for, well, the Welsh clubs could lose a club, the Italian clubs go on to one club. I mean, just to make it more palatable, you know, easier to fit all the player welfare issues in, all the travel issues, the fixture congestion.
Possibly.
Because the Dragons have just appointed Bernard Chapman, who's a bloody good coach, actually.
And they've just had a rebrand, haven't they?
Have they? To what?
Dragons.
Just Dragons?
Just Dragons, I think.
They are.
Yeah.
Great.
Like London Wasps going to Wasps.
Cardiff to Cardiff Blues is the... But, like, apparently the world will end, according to Cardiff fans, if they go to Cardiff. It's why I just don't care about it.
I don't know if this is going to make me more interested or more apathetic towards Pro 12.
If these teams show up with a bunch of Springboks in... Fair play, Pro 12. You've done a really good job because you've actually, you know, you've improved the quality.
If
you're bringing in like the Lions and the Stormers.
But going back to what Phil said, you're going to have these weird conferences where these four Irish teams, and then what do you do with Italians and
Irish, Scottish, one Italian, or Irish, Scottish, and one South
Irish
African?
And Scottish, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
Welsh and Italian, and then a South African in each.
Yeah, but then Africans, you want them at home because of the derbies and the travel.
I
need also need to work out, what do the Springboks think of all this? Because do the Springboks, if you look at New Zealand, everything's geared towards the All Blacks. I mean, it's not that perfect in South Africa, but you know, in their ideal world, their best players play for their franchises, and they go to the Springboks, and those franchises have their, you know, playing windows when they do play and when they don't play, and the internationals play. Do they send development players to these teams, or are they completely standalone teams? Or are you allowed to be a Springbok and be on the Springbok pathway? And also gives a lot of power to Springboks who go for big money deals in France or England, because they say, well, hang on a minute, you've got guys in the Cheetahs, and half the time they're spent over here anyway. So why can't we? I think
you're giving South African rugby a lot more credit than it possibly deserves. I'm not sure that as far down that path as
has anyone actually told South African rugby this is happening. I mean,
there are more questions than answers.
Definitely, right now, and also, yeah. If you don't have the two conferences and you do have a 14 team league like the top 14,
meat grinder,
that is unbelievably brutal.
Yeah,
that
especially with the travel. I mean, it's not like travelling from.
I mean, I know playing Treviso is like a bye week, but even so, you've still got to travel.
In some ways. Yeah. But it's not in, like, psychologically, all that travel, all that training. Yeah. It's a nightmare.
I was being a little bit flippant when I said that. But
Yeah.
But, you know, we do take the point, because if you've got Treviso at home, you may as well send all your senior players off, you know, on warm weather training. So, I just don't understand this for the life of me.
It's just money. This is money. And they do need to do something, because it is slowly dying.
I got the feeling that this is... So it might give a short-term boost of TV money, but it's actually going to make the league less valuable.
Yeah, and what are they going to do with that TV money?
Long-term, it's more damage than good.
Invest in stadiums or...
It will go to the clubs, and it will allow them to pay players more.
Yes,
so it will be filtered,
that's
funneled
it.
To the players.
That's it.
Which is good, because it's good from one side, because it allows you to retain talent in Ireland and Wales and Scotland, but they don't have that much difficulty doing it anyway, in all honesty. The only real Irish loss that they've ever had was Sexton.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I believe they've significantly changed things since that fiasco.
Yeah, I just don't see how it makes it a better product. And that's the most important thing.
It could potentially make it a better product if almost I can ignore the South African teams and the farce of that. If I see more Leinster v Munster and Leinster v Ulster or whatever, I see more of those derby games.
You're talking a lot of sense here.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. I want to see the best of the Irish go at each other with full teams and, you know, destroy each other. That's what I really want to see. I want to see the same for the Welsh. I want to see... But because it's unbalanced, when these guys are having derbies, the Scottish teams aren't. They're playing, you know... So you've got half the league who can't wait for this stuff, and then the other half who... So in another way, you've kind of got to nurture rivalries which aren't in the right geographic location.
What was that rivalry tag that we saw?
Yeah, more than just a derby.
More than just a derby. What was that?
Treviso Edinburgh.
It sounds like it's
more than a derby.
Yeah. Less. Actually less.
It's not a derby in any way.
And also more than just a derby. Like going, oh, well, Glasgow, yeah, whatever. That's just a derby. This is more than just a derby.
Yeah, Munster-Leinster across the pond. Munster-Leinster, that's nothing. That's just a derby. This is real.
So just to kind of colour this in a little bit more, the chief executive of the Pro 12, I mean, there are good things happening in the Pro 12. It's easy to be flippant after this news because I think it sounds so absurd. But the guy in charge of the Pro 12, Martin, help me out with his surname. It's got a strange surname, beginning with A. It's got a Y in it. Anya, or so, well,
for who, sorry?
The chief executive. It's coming from F1. Apparently, he's an incredibly bright bloke and very good at putting together these sort of international deals. So, if there's one thing you could kind of hang your hat on as a Pro 12 fan, is that, you know, you've got a very good guy, or a supposed very good guy, at the top of the tree. So, you know, but it might work, and that's why he's paid the money he is, I guess.
Does he? Yeah. You've got good guys, but do they know the sport? And there are intricacies to any sport, obviously, but I'm not so sure.
The other rumor is Houston. Now, how the hell do you get the Cheetahs to play Houston? I mean, I guess it's just bizarre.
It seems opportunistic rather than strategic.
Yeah, but
yeah, opportunistic, and I do worry. I think where we're all kind of feeling on this is it might actually have to do more long-term harm than good. It gives you the short-term financial boost for a couple of years, but then you're left with an even less valuable product.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Brilliant. Can't wait for it. It's going to be a great competition.
It is. We're 6 weeks, well, 7-8 weeks away from the start of the season. Something serious has got to be done in between now and then. To sort this out.
Completely agreed. Now, I've got a few other things on my thing here. I've got the sighting committee for Sean O'Brien. Do you want to talk about that briefly?
Oh, God. It was 3.5 hours they spent in there, apparently. Went in at 8:30, came out at, went in at 8 and came out at like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Sean O'Brien
3.5 hours. This was for the, if you haven't seen it, for the alleged swinging arm to the face. It did knock out. It did concuss Waisaki Naholo.
It does feel like Sean O'Brien spends more on legal fees than O.J. Simpson.
But hold on,
Do you remember in the World Cup he had this,
mammoth,
five-page... I mean, don't know who gives him representation, but they're making a fortune.
Yeah, they're being paid by the hour, by the word.
Exactly.
That did feel one of your favourite phrases, Tim. That, to me, was a rugby incident.
It was.
Nothing more to say.
I was going to say, but they must have been debating something. And this, I reckon what they were debating was, again, one of the unintended consequences of all of this making rugby more and more litigious on the field, is it was letter of the law. Letter of the law, his hand connected with the face of Waisaki Naholo, which concussed him.
I seem to have no time for courtroom rugby, and that's basically what we're getting. I mean, they are actually quite... These things are actually quite funny to read. If you actually get the PDF, I'll give you an example.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, like Steve Diamond's PDF, when he was up for... on disciplinary, described himself as owner... coach, director of rugby, community outreach manager, chief pot and bottle washer. You know, you get these really weird things, but ultimately, why do we watch it? It's not because we enjoy the courtroom aspect. Mm. And what are they doing spending the funds which the game generates on a bunch of legal experts to go to a hotel room for 3 hours?
Like I say, you reap what you sow. You start talking about letter of the law, and you start having things which are rugby incidents, not malicious, but have unfortunate consequences. Mm. You start dishing out red cards for them, and you start having press that start baying for it and squealing. And a lot of people have pointed at some New Zealand press for being a little bit salty. I think some United Kingdom and Irish publications need to take a look in the mirror. Ireland in the past have been unbelievably salty, some of their press. In the wake of poor Johnny Sexton getting hit.
Smaller nations tend to have worse press because they are desperate to get into other markets and get notoriety in the UK. That's what they do. They've got a readership of about 3. So when you look at some of the stuff written in the New Zealand press, the best thing is just to ignore it, because they're not talking to anyone. They're effectively irrelevant outside of a circle.
Unfortunately, what
people.
Happened is the whole rugby fraternity started retweeting an article of a New Zealand newspaper that gave Maro Itoje 4 out of 10, which is exactly what they were after.
Yeah. Exactly. No one's ever heard of these people.
No.
Clickbait.
But what I'm saying is, you get into this kind of black and white universe where, and you start saying phrases like letter of the law, means you get 3.5 hour hearings about an accident that you can't help. I'm glad they came to that decision, but I would not have surprised me if, and it obviously must have been something they considered, giving him a ban. Mm-hmm. Because by the letter of the law, it was a red card.
Yeah. Well, anyway, enough of that. Other story for you, Toulon expect to sign Melekai Fakatoa tomorrow.
He's been called back into the New Zealand squad.
Who has been called up for Sunnybill. Yeah, so he's in the squad, whether he'll be in the 23.
Tell you what, the centre partnership of Fakatoa and Lau Mappe is terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of game time together.
No,
but if they develop that partnership, my word, that's special.
Yeah, but yeah. They, I mean, won't.
How old is Fakatoa now? I feel he's like 24, but I've got a suspicion he's not much older.
27 or 28, I reckon.
Yeah, mid-20s. He's not...
He's not an old guy.
He's not quite the destructive force he was. When he first burst on the scene, he was like, you know, the next superstar, wasn't he?
25.
Bloody hell,
so
is that it?
New Zealand's midfield, they've got incredible choices, but they're not going to have anything really bedded in particularly well.
No. No, definitely not. They'll probably go for Linnet Brown and
Lau Mappe,
yeah. With then Fekitoa as an option. But they could always go, because Fekitoa at 13, Linnet Brown at 12 will have played a few times.
Yeah,
but they're going to have to change their winger as well. So
there's speculation Damien McKenzie might come in. I can't see it myself.
As a kicker.
Yeah, kicker and at fullback.
Or even Jordy Barrett. But they presumably they've made their call.
But they've got, it's that Kiwi backline is creaking. No Ben Smuth, no Waisaki Naholo, no Sonny Bill, no Ryan Crotty.
Yeah.
So it's 3 of their starters and 4 players, and they're down to their third choice.
I mean, I just hope they don't do, I forgot his name now, so I'll forget that. What's his name? Chiefs. 10.
Cruden.
The other one.
Stephen Donald.
Stephen Donald. I mean, that's the guy. Beaver. Avoid.
The Beaver. So what would you do? I'd probably put Dag back onto the wing, and I was thinking D-Mac or Jordy Barrett, but D-Mac's not even in the squad, is he? So probably Jordy Barrett.
Jordy Barrett could
Jordy
go
Barrett
in there.
Jordy Barrett fullback.
Yeah, you could do that. Within Lau Mappe.
I don't know.
I think they might go Linnett Brown and Fekir Toa. Just because they will have actually played some games together.
Oh, I simply don't know enough about the New Zealand squad and its workings. But it wouldn't surprise me if they start with Cruden and then put Barrett
to fullback.
And that is the other option that they have. But I don't know.
The reason why you're going to want someone who can kick at fullback is to take the pressure off Bowden Barrett.
Yeah.
And Cruden also isn't a great kicker. McKenzie kicks ahead of him for the Chiefs.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. So that doesn't... It solves one of your problems, but it doesn't solve both of your problems.
Well, it seems to me the All Blacks are quite comfortable not going to play with a 90% or an 80% kicker because of all the other things that they bring. So maybe they'll continue with that because, you know, Cruden's not a bad player, well, is he?
Once the teams are announced, we'll do a final test hyped up. In fact, we'll have to find ways to hype up that podcast. Get some of that, like, epic music.
Should we just talk about over epic music for an hour and a half?
Yeah, we'll see if we can get Scott Quinnell in to do a speech.
Yep. Yeah. That sounds great.
Passion.
I wonder if I can leave it with me. yes. Have we got anything else that anyone wants to talk about? Anything?
Any other business? Go on, JB.
Obviously.
Oh well, no. Actually, I've got one thing that's far more important than that, and that's Cornerstone.
Oh yeah.
Just very quickly. I want to mention it again because I know we're getting new listeners all the time through this Lions tour, and if this is if you're just finding the Egg Chasers podcast. Well done. You've found the world's biggest rugby podcast. You've found the original rugby podcast. And we can sort you out with the best razor on the market. We believe you will not... believe us when we say you will not find better. And there's been BBC TV programmes that with all the razors... with all the razors they tested, it came out on top. So if you're getting other ones that were tested, you're getting an inferior product. Yep. And the amazing thing about this with Cornerstone, it's mail order. You get this beautiful presentation box delivered. We get tweets all the time from people delighted with how happy they are. And it's £4, less than a pint, and you can give it a go and see what we're talking about. And for that £4, you will get yourself 6 beautiful razors, which will go on your free aluminium shaft, which you can get engraved with your name on. If your old man's got a birthday coming up, get that for him, £4, and it'll feel like he's got a proper deal.
Exactly.
So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, that's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg10 at checkout.
Yeah.
Last thing from me is the Lions game is on Saturday, and then we've got a little bit of a barren spell. So we are going to do our superfan section. So if you want to discuss your team, if you want to write down how your team are going to fare this year, if you like the signings, if you like who they've released, how they stack up, how the team looks, anything you want to talk about your team, send it in and we'll review 2 or 3 teams, maybe an episode. We're still working out how many we're going to do. We're going to go do all the teams, but we're going to work out exactly what format it's going to be.
Yes, so we want to shine a spotlight on all of the teams competing in the major leagues, and we want super fans, like JB said. So you can get in touch with us if you're on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast.
Just email him through.
You can email contacteggchasers@gmail.com. And yeah, we'd love to have you as a super fan. We might even be able to get you on the podcast on Skype to chat about it. We'll definitely be able to get your thoughts and your concerns or your questions. And we'll see what we can do. But it feels weird talking about the new season. But you're absolutely right. After this weekend, it's going to be like we're going to need some sort of like rugby methadone.
Yeah, all the boys are already in pre-season. They're already ramping up for it. The pre-season games are going to be any time now.
The Instagram channel's full of a lot of people who seem to be playing golf. But that's just like the internationals.
Well, I was talking to one of the lads from Sale this week. It'll be on the Rugby Dungeon.
Ding.
And he's just describing what their weeks are like and what their fitness is like at the moment, and it sounds absolutely miserable,
brutal.
Yeah, it really is.
I always quite enjoyed the preseason
you're
element.
Sick though, aren't you? I mean, you actually enjoy the working out more than the rugby, more than the sport.
I'm not sure if that's true.
I would give up the gym tomorrow
if I could,
but then I'd also have to give up rugby. You'd happily give up rugby.
There is a part of me that wishes that I'd been maybe, you know, played rugby 40 years ago when they didn't bother with any of that stuff. They just played rugby.
Exactly.
They missed out.
But you happily gave up rugby to carry on in the gym.
No, I gave up rugby because I can't.
Oh well,
I can't physically play anymore.
You can. You can come down and talk H. We'll have you.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, nice one, mate. There you go. Right, let's go home.
Sounds cool. Good to me.
All right, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Egg Chasers Podcast on Instagram, Facebook.
Oh, one last
Acast and iTunes and all the rest of it.
Last thing.
Yeah,
we're all going to Philadelphia. It is booked. We want you to come along as well. So just tweet us if you've got any plans. We don't know what we're going to do, but if there's enough of us, we might do a live recording.
And this podcast is because, if it escaped your attention, Newcastle will play Saracens in Philadelphia on the 16th or 17th of September. That weekend.
It's that weekend.
Second or third weekend of the season. And yeah, it could be, it's 2 hours away or hour and a half away by train from New York City. So there's plenty of fun that could be had there.
It's gonna
or
be
in Philadelphia
awesome.
Itself. It's going to be big.
And it is always sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah. If we can get a group of us, we might do a live recording. I'm not sure it's going to be a full live show.
There'll be plenty of Native Americans that will...
Indians? like the KM?
US Nationals.
They're more lacrosse players than rugby.
Yeah. Oh, just US Nationals.
Yeah, okay. US Nationals.
Christ,
yeah.
I didn't know we had that kind of demographic.
Well, Exeter Chiefs fans.
Yeah.
They have missed the trick, haven't they? Why haven't Exeter been invited over?
Yeah.
Yeah, so any Apaches...
That's a marketer's dream, that.
There'd also be a few people wanting to protest about it, I'm sure.
Get the game in the what's the Dallas Cowboys...
It is Cowboy Stadium.
Is it Cowboy Stadium?
It is Cowboy Stadium.
It used to be called the Superdome. Or
no,
the
it didn't.
Superdome?
It used to be called...
is that Detroit?
Texas Stadium.
Is that Detroit was the Superdome?
No, that was the Pontiac Silverdome. And now it's the Ford Field.
Seeing as we have mentioned... the USA. Did you see their game against Canada this week?
No, but that was the winner gets their place in England's pool.
Who won?
USA won comfortably.
On Canada Day.
52 points to 14, I think.
Bloody
it was.
Hell, they really did.
Yeah, big win. After a close draw.
Who's coaching USA at the moment? It's not Tolkien anymore, is it?
Tolkien?
Not Tolkien. Yeah,
J.R.R. Tolkien.
No, what's his name? Tom...
It was Mitchell. The
who's the guy that we met? I'm sure it's. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, it was Mitchell, but he's gone back to. He's gone to South
Todd
Africa.
Todd Clever is retired now. That was his last game for
was
the
that
USA.
His last game?
76 caps, which Fair USA point. Don't play that many games, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So England will be playing against the USA.
Oh, brilliant!
Awesome!
Excellent!
In Japan, love it.
Yeah.
Canada still have like a couple of repechages they can get through.
Yeah.
They now play Uruguay, and then if they lose that, they can still get through by playing someone else.
John Mitchell is still coach.
Asia qualifier four. I thought John Mitchell had
former gone. Sale Sharks director of rugby, John Mitchell.
Joke. Mike Tolkien was the old coach.
Tolkien.
That's the
guy that Mike Tolkien, okay.
Son of, or grandson of, J.R. Tolkien.
Right.
Nice, we're out of here. Let the boys play.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.